It was the sight now of George emerging from the chapel that caused Molly's lovers to move off further up the weedy gravel path. They wandered into an arrangement of oval rose beds marked by a sign, "The Garden of Remembrance." Each plant had been savagely cut back to within a few inches of the frozen ground, a practice Molly used to deplore. The patch of lawn was strewn with flattened cigarette butts, for this was a place where people came to stand about and wait for the funeral party ahead of theirs to clear the building. As they strolled up and down, the two old friends resumed the conversation they had had in various forms a half dozen times before, but which gave them rather more comfort than singing Pilgrim. Clive Linley had known Molly first, back when they were students in 68, and lived together in a chaotic, shifting household in the Vale of Health. A terrible way to go. He watched his own vaporized breath float off into the grey air. The temperature in central London was said to be minus 11 today. Minus 11. There was something seriously wrong with the world for which neither God nor his absence could be blamed. Man's first disobedience, the fall, a falling figure, an oboe, 9 notes, 10 notes. Clive had the gift of perfect pitch and heard them descending from the G. There was no need to write them down. He continued, "I mean, to die that way, with no awareness, like an animal. To be reduced, humiliated before she could make arrangements or even say goodbye. It crept up on her and then..." He shrugged. They came to the end of the trampled lawn, turned and walked back. "She would have killed herself rather than end up like that," Vernon Halliday said. He had lived with her for a year in Paris in 74, when he had his first job with Reuters, and Molly did something or other for Vogue. "Brain dead and in George's clutches," Clive said.